Why doesn't somebody tell me what they think is going on here?
Brent Johnson, here we are back with a midweek update. And, you know, there's, I guess, some things that we can highlight related to the Monday peak of the week, some data points that we were looking at. And then I think we dive into some stuff that was off topic, but is very much on topic so far this week. So let's start with the data, I guess, specifically Fed-related stuff. We just had the FOMC meeting, FOMC minutes released. Is there anything there that you think is interesting to highlight?
Well, I think it's interesting, but it so far hasn't been impactful. So to me, what's interesting is going to see what happens over the next couple of days, because I think the minutes were a little bit more hawkish than people were expecting. In other words, you know, some of the members reiterated their fear that inflation could stay higher for longer, and as a result, more tightening would be needed. And so there were some kind of hawkish nuggets to come out of the minutes. The market's basically the same place when that when that was released. So there hasn't been a big reaction one way or the other to it. Part of the reason that I think it's interesting is because I think the market is now trying to figure it out. And what I mean by that, I think there was a lot of certainty back in July. And now, since we kind of hit this peak, you know, or ceiling, you know, for the equity highs, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now we've pulled back, let's call it anywhere from 2 to 3%. So, you know, we haven't had a crash, but we haven't really been able to break back above those highs that were made 2 or 3 weeks ago. And part of the reason is I think people aren't as certain as they were, you know, coming out of the meeting in July. And then I also feel there's a lot of, it's momentum related a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, if you're pedaling really hard and you're riding a bike uphill and you keep pedaling, it's easier to keep going. But if you have to stop and take a drink and then you have to start again in the middle of the hill, it's really hard to get going up that hill because now you've got this steep incline. Right. And I kind of feel that's a little bit where we're at with the markets right now. They're not necessarily going to, you know, fall over tomorrow, but it's just really hard because of all these headwinds that we've talked about several times to kind of get that momentum again and really power up to the top of the hill and through that barrier. Now, maybe we will. But what I struggle with is finding the catalyst to push us through that ceiling, when I can name, you know, a dozen catalysts off the top of my head that could push us back down the hill. Now, I want to be clear, that doesn't mean that a catalyst doesn't exist. You know, something could happen tomorrow. Somebody could say something. There could be a headline to come out tomorrow morning that shoots everything higher. But I struggle to find a catalyst that I would have conviction on to push us through that. And, you know, markets are now back below, you know, for those who have followed us for a while, you know, back in mid to late June, you know, I kind of went net short via some options, and markets, the Dow is now back to that same level. The S&P, the NASDAQ are now below that. So we haven't really gone anywhere other. We could call it the violently sideways, the continuation of violently sideways for the last 6 or 8 weeks. What's interesting to me is what happens next? Which way do we go? And I think we just got to wait and see.
I'm looking forward to this weekend when we record the full length episode, because I think there's been a lot of macro elements that have been bubbling to the surface. And you just had a conversation with Mike Green and his cohorts at Simplify. And one of the great aspects of that conversation that I took away was how much time you had to develop the point that you're trying to make, usually in 15 seconds with some people, or 220 characters on Twitter, in that the role that the US dollar is playing is kind of the center of the universe. And so when you think about our solar system, and, you know, depending on what, you know, celestial body you're considering and what it's rotating around, then you think about the dollar's role in all of this. And now you make this analogy of trying to pedal up a hill. And once you kind of quit at the top of the hill, it's a lot easier to say, I've given up, and just, you know, fly down the hill in neutral. And at the same time, you have all of these macro forces that are coming into play. And I'm kind of, I guess, teasing a little bit of what we hope to talk about a little bit on this show, but definitely this weekend. But before we get into some of those topics and some of the macro things, some of these threads that are starting to come untwined and some of these planets that are starting to fall out of orbit. Before we do that, you know, I was actually going to ask you, what do you think is something that could, you know, thrust the market up back over the hill again? And you kind of mentioned, you know, maybe there's a comment there. And, you know, at the beginning of the week, we kind of hinted towards maybe discussing or giving a quick explainer of what dovish versus hawkish means. And it seems it's relevant because probably the thing that could give this market one more thrust would be maybe a dovish comment from the Fed. So do you want to kind of give a little bit of insight on what those two things are?
I mean, yeah. So if you hear somebody talk about dovishness, that basically is meant to be some kind of a peaceful, you know, connotation to it. And as a result, peaceful monetary policy would be easy monetary policy. In other words, the Fed or the government or whoever's instituting this policy is trying to take it easy on the market. And as a result, they're going to institute easy monetary policy, lower rates, you know, fiscal stimulus, all of this stuff, which would push the market, tend to push the market higher. Hawkish is meant to kind of signify a bird of prey that's ready to pounce on you at any second and use its sharp talons to tear you apart, right? And so that would indicate tighter monetary policy, higher rates, you know, less lending, you know, less stimulus. And so I think that's kind of, we're in a battle now. We're in a battle between the hawks and the doves. And, you know, so to your point, something that could push, you know, this back up the hill and over that crest of the hill to where it's smooth sailing again, would be some excessively dovish comments or some excessively dovish actions. Now, whether that, you know, if the Fed were to come out at Jackson Hole next week or in 2 weeks, whenever that is, and Powell were to, you know, not just say dovish things, but act very dovishly and indicate that, you know, the tightening cycle was right where they wanted it and they really didn't think that they needed to tighten policy anymore, that they were in a good place, I think the market would take that as very dovish and probably shoot higher. The opposite is if he comes out and he says, you know, we got a lot more work to do, guys. You know, I can appreciate that you think we're at the end of the tightening cycle, but, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch. You know, that would be pretty hawkish. And that's exactly what happened, you know, a year ago. And that's what makes this, you know, if we're going to use this word again, John, interesting. What makes this so interesting to me is we're having kind of a carbon copy of last year. You know, last year they raised rates in July. A lot of people thought that might have been the end of it. The market rallied like crazy. And then Powell came out at Jackson Hole and just clubbed the market over the head, you know, with excessively hawkish language. Not only did he say hawkish things, but he said it in a hawkish way and markets sold off. I don't really expect him to come out and do that this time, unless if we were to have some kind of a rally into the Fed or into the Jackson Hole, then I could see him doing it. As it is now, I kind of expect him just to kind of toe the line as he has. You know, we've talked before about how now that he's kind of getting close to his soft landing and he can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think he's probably less inclined to upset the apple cart. But you know, it really just depends on, you know, what additional data we get out between now and then. One thing that could potentially lead the Fed to be more dovish is the negative news out of China, right? And the continued devaluation or falling value of the yen. You know, so, you know, I've said for a long time, I think the seeds of the next crisis will be found outside the United States, not inside the United States. And, you know, if the Fed can see the light at the end of the tunnel and they think that they can actually stick this soft landing, they might not want to see China go boom, right? And so they may want to kind of give the market some good news in order to counteract those forces. So, you know, it's not that there aren't things out there that could send the market higher. It's just that there's a lot of them that could send it lower.
You know, as an interest rates guy, I've always treated the dove hawkish comparison. I've thought of doves, the letter D, deflation, lower interest rates, hawkish, the letter H, kind of implying potential hyperinflation, higher interest rates. So I like the more bird of prey take on that, but that's kind of how I've always remembered the two is with the deflationary versus hyperinflationary component. Now you did kind of tease up some of the stuff that's been going on in China. And I have to say, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. And kind of following you this week, you've had various conversations, whether it's, you know, visit with Mike Green on their show, a Twitter Spaces, very active on Twitter in general. I think I'm going to leave a cliffhanger here for everybody. And what we'll do this weekend is unpack some of the stuff that's going on in China. I feel like we always have a bit of a macro convo, but it really feels like the macro picture is bringing the micro picture into focus. And one of the things I'd love for you to do for us in a couple of days here is to take us back. You know, the saying, you know, you can often underestimate what you can do in a day and overestimate what you can do in a month. I feel like that can be applied to what markets can achieve in a short period of time, as well as what they ultimately achieve in a long period of time. And you've been kind of referencing just the past 12 months, you know, what the state of the market was back in October. Things kind of seemed on the brink. So I think we've got a on the brink type of conversation in store for us for this weekend. So that's where I'd like to leave it for this midweek update. I appreciate everybody joining us. You can find Brent on Twitter at SantiagoAUFund. You can find me at John Kutzmita. You can find all our great content for the Milkshakes Pod at our website, milkshakespod.com, or on the YouTube channel, which you can locate at Milkshakes Pod. So thanks again, everybody, and stay tuned. We have a few more episodes coming out this week that we think you're going to enjoy. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.